the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Pain, the trials.
The pain, the trials I've had to endure.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he
sent me. I was at my lowest.
At my lowest.
And the guilt that consumed me, grateful I can tell it, for no more shall the shackles condemn me. You don't know my story.
You just don't know.
For if you did, you would lift up your hands. So just let me tell you, by faith you may.
My deliverance.
And
what I want to share is my testimony.
You don't know.
Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony.
My story,
yes,
my story, my favorite, God upon me.
And a very good morning to you. This is Praise in the City here on Praise 103.9 FM. Thank you so very, very, very much for joining me this morning. I always appreciate you. Let me give you our phone number so you can be a part of today's discussion. It's 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. So, you know, I am a big fan of the arts, and as often as I can, have guests on the program to talk about a production that is coming through Philadelphia. We make room for that. And in fact, this production has been here for a little while and only has a few more days or a week or so left until it closes. So we want to tell you a little bit about it. Joining us in studio is Janice Abbott Pratt and Jerome Preston Bates. I got it all right. From the production Stickfly. They are at the Arden Theater in Center City. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So if you guys could just give us a brief synopsis of what the show is about.
Sure. All right. Stickfly is a family drama. It's it's a play about Dr. Joseph LeVay and his two sons, and they're at taking their family vacation in Martha's Vineyard. So the two sons bring their girlfriends home, and then my character is Cheryl, and I play the daughter of the family's maid. Okay. So you just have this weekend where, you know, when family gets together, everybody's laughing, having fun, we're playing board games, eating, drinking, and then drama ensues, as it does with any family. So
yes, indeed.
Without giving anything away.
right. No spoilers.
It's definitely a play that touches a lot of different issues relating to race and class and, you know, just social structure and and love and what the definition of family is and definition of fatherhood and all of that. So covers a lot.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, Jerome, give us your take on things.
Oh, well, you know, first of all, Cheryl, played by Janice, is she's been just a part of the family for ever since my sons have, been little boys to men now. One is a doctor and one aspires to be an artist. And Dr. LeVay is a neurosurgeon. So he's wants his sons to pretty much follow in the footsteps of something that's going to guarantee them a certain sort of income.
Okay.
He has a summer house at Martha's Vineyard, if you can understand.
Yes.
So that's, you know, so he got a home. He has a home, obviously, somewhere else. And he has a very lucrative practice. And there's one character who we never see, who is very powerful, and two, her mom,
okay,
and Ellie, and my wife, Mrs. LeVay. So it's very powerful in that respect, how it the story unfolds. But these characters are so strong and so present, yet we never see these two African American females. It's layered with so many different things, and I think Janice quite eloquently just Gave you a brief.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
For this time of the morning, it was.
It's all right. That is all right. So you guys mentioned that it touches on a variety of topics, including class and race and things like that. And I don't want you to give spoilers, but can you go a little deeper about some of the issues that are central to the story as it relates to class and race?
Well, there's a character named Taylor, and she's the girlfriend of the youngest mm-hmm. brother, and she just struggles with her father was this famous intellectual mm-hmm. and he did not acknowledge her. Mm-hmm. So she had a the word we use in the play is entree to certain privileges, okay. right? Of her father, because her father had this status, but she mm-hmm. never felt like she was quite accepted into those circles because he didn't acknowledge her. Mm-hmm. So she just struggles with, you know, I have this name and even this, you know, this prestige, but she doesn't feel like she is quite accepted into those circles. So mm-hmm. she deals with that. And then we have the oldest brother. He brings home a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so Taylor is just blown away by that.
Okay.
She struggles with, and I don't want to give too much away about that, mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. you know, all the reasons why she struggles with that. But, you know, it's just, she's constantly trying to figure out who she is in this world, because who she is supposed to be by birth, she mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily have the rights to.
Mm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, how does this, do you feel, relates to, say, your own family? And what are some of the issues that you see in the play that you can say you can relate to, or that you see other people relating to?
I think everything that comes out in the play you can relate to in mm-hmm. terms of your family. I think one of the things it touches on is fatherhood and the responsibility of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
If your listeners, they might understand the scripture when it says the sins of the father will be passed down to the sons mm-hmm. and the other generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get an idea of how the choices of this father will affect his sons and probably the generations to come.
Mm.
And how his choices, which would be considered sins, mm-hmm. amongst our listeners and those of faith, affects this family for this weekend.
Mm.
But it will, you could relate to every issue, no matter what social class that mm-hmm. you're in. Obviously, it takes its biggest fall because these are people who are at the upper echelon, mm-hmm. say, of society. They've gotten the best education. They've mm-hmm. had the best homes. Their families are educated. Mm-hmm. So it's a big fall once mm-hmm. it hits. I think the very interesting thing, Lydia Diamond adds the comedy to this, that you, when you get hit in the belly, you're like, oh, is this a drama?
You know? Right, right.
But you are having a ball
okay.
for, gosh, at least an hour and a half.
And then the bottom drops out.
Dead boom. I must also add that on Broadway, I had an opportunity to be a part of the play, and Alicia mm-hmm. Keys did the score for it.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, this score here is worth going out just to buy the music.
Really?
It's really good. And but well, anyway, that's the Broadway production, but we're focusing mm-hmm. on this. And so we got a wonderful cast of not only Miss Janice Abbott Pratt, but a brother by the name of UR
mm-hmm.
and Biko Eisen
mm-hmm.
and Jessica
Francis
Dukes
mm-hmm. and Juliana Disbo.
And Juliana Disbo,
okay.
who plays Kimber, the Caucasian female. And, of course, myself, Jerome Preston Bates.
All right. It sounds like you guys have a really wonderful cast. And I'm very interested in the stories because, you know, art can change life, or at least it can shine the light on different areas of our lives to make us reevaluate and things like that. How would you say this play can help people reevaluate the image of the Black family? Since you're talking about this family is in the upper echelon, we don't often hear that part of the discussion when we discuss Black families. And if you do, you're always referred to the TV version, i.e. The Cosby Show. So how would you say people watching this play would think about the definition or think about the Black family?
Well, I'm from Philly, so it was so great for me to be home doing a show because mm-hmm. I had all of my family come.
Awesome.
To see this show. And my brother, he's a young black male, afterwards, he's bawling after he saw this performance because it just made him question. He isn't a father yet, but it just made him question, as a man, what kind of father do I want to be? And I don't think that before seeing this play that he questioned it to the level that he did after he saw it. But I just watched my family talk about, and we're pretty close, but it took us to a whole nother level of conversation and discussion about what it means to really be how we were as a family. Mm-hmm. And you know, like a Dr. LaVey's character, sometimes people look at it and it's like, he's so cold and he's so mean and why, you know, but he stands on principles and things that he did to get to where he is in life. That's who he is. And you can't fault him for that because that got him to the level of success that he has. But, you know, other people could look at that and think that, you know, where's the heart and where's the
right
love? But I don't know. I think that wherever you are with your family and your relationship to family, that it can take you to another level. It can be transcendent.
Okay. Jerome, what are your thoughts?
Oh, boy. I was so caught up in that answer. That. I'm trying to figure out what was the question. But, you know, gosh, it gives you one aspect of this type of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are more of us, African Americans, who are probably of working class than it is of those who are of upper echelon of this society. You know, you look at this and see they have the same issues as anyone else would.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, for the young mother who's trying to take care of her three or four children without a father in her home and somewhere in Philadelphia, she may come to this and understand that she deals with some of the same issues in her family, but she may look at it and say, oh, my God, get a life. You guys got everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until recently that I realized that as I tried to deal with Dr. LaVey and understand him, and as Janice just said, the choices that he make, well, you look around at these young people and you say, gosh, you got everything, and yet you have something to complain about. But they're saying, you know, that what we don't have is that love, that father, that recognition, somebody who told us, you know, and it's amazing how you grow with a character, because I said, gosh, you guys got everything. For God's sakes, you had Martha's Vineyard and a summer home. Money is just a matter of writing a check, yet you still have a problem. It's amazing. But you know, we have pain on different levels, and it doesn't identify itself with it doesn't necessarily happen with the welfare mother exclusively, but it obviously would happen with those who got everything and got privilege and got everything at their hands, or they can see it in front of them, but maybe they can't get access to it. So we all are dealing with some elements of pain. And you know, being that this is, I'm understanding from what I'm seeing around that this is a Christian broadcast station, you know, gospel station. So,
absolutely.
You know, obviously we can deal with the pain of this situation. And, you know, we understand that all things work together for good for those who trust in the Lord, who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
No good thing will he withhold from you if you walk upright. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We got tools, you know, in terms of Christians when dealing with any situation.
Absolutely.
We have tools. The Bible, the word says, my word will not come back void, but it will go out and accomplish everything that it has been set out.
Yes.
So, you know, I thank God for a station like yours, because the Bible gives you tools.
Yes.
It gives you tools. You can have nothing, but you stand on God's word and you'll have everything.
Absolutely.
The word says in Philippians 1:6, I'm being very confident of this one thing, that he that has begun a good work in you is able to perform the work until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, God has given you tools. And I like it when it says he's able to perform it, you know. And that means he's able to do it.
Yes.
So a person coming from the arts like me said, you don't worry about what you know, mm-hmm. what's the next step? God mm-hmm. is able to perform it.
Absolutely.
You know, the mere fact that you even have it in your heart, that you desire to do it, he's able to make it come to pass.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as believers, we have tools, mm-hmm. no matter what we come against, mm-hmm. no matter who dropped the ball, mm-hmm. no matter how the floor dropped, mm-hmm. no matter what the father didn't do, mm-hmm. no matter what the mother didn't tell me. God has equipped us with those tools. We thank God for stations like yourself that yeah. continues to give people that word,
right.
give people the Kirk Franklins, the Marvin Sapps,
absolutely.
The Yolanda Adams, the Hezekiah Walkers,
exactly.
you know, the John P. Keys,
exactly.
you know. So we thank God for you guys.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for that word. Woo! Now, I need y'all to call in. My awesome listeners, we are speaking with two of the cast members of the play Stick Fly. It's at the Arden Theater until December 22nd. You're just getting a sneak peek to what this is all about. You can call in and speak to the cast, but also I have a question for you, and I have a question for you, my guest in studio. Based on what you just said and how this challenges the families, you see these families challenges through the play, what then would be your definition of family? What do you include in your definition, your personal definition of family? Give us a call. What do you include in your personal definition of family? Reach out to us at 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. Guests in studio, hang tight. Also, my listening audience, hang tight. We want you to call in with your answer to what is your definition of family. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to return with more conversation after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. In the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the show. We are talking with two cast members from the play Stick Fly. It's being performed at the Arden Theater in Center City, Philadelphia. Hopefully you can go check that out. But we are talking right now about family. What is your definition a family? What is included in that definition of family? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. Let's go right to the phones. We have Craig calling in from Camden on line one. Craig, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise God. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Breathing on schedule. Thank you.
That's how you do it. I'd like to say hi to your guests. I'm sorry I caught the short side of your show.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm so glad to see somebody connecting the arts with the spiritual
yes.
aspect. It's a wonderful thing. The more you can do it, the more people it can probably touch.
Amen.
And back to the question about family. Mm-hmm. My thing is being on the same page. That the definition of family is kind of like everybody being on the same page. It may happen, it may not, but that's the difference to me between a good family and a great family or a family that's not doing so well. But everybody being on the same page is real important for a strong family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you go in a little bit more in depth when you say everybody on the same page? So if you have a family that has a brother, a sister, mother, and a father, and being on the same page looks like what to you?
It means that everybody knows that their actions affect the other one. So somebody might not go out and do something that's going to bring a bad name to their family, knowing that it's going to bother everybody in their family or bring their family some type of discredit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sticking together doesn't mean when the door opens, you all run outside and fight. It means keeping each other in mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. knowing that something would bother somebody else. So you wouldn't do it, or you would straighten mm-hmm. it out, or you would try to make it better just for the sake of your family. It's not always, you know, you got my back. That term, you got my back, doesn't always jive with me. I want to have your mm-hmm. back in a good way. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean lie for me or, you know, or hide something for me or something mm-hmm. like that. It means let's progress in a good fashion. And everybody on the same page just means that we all kind of apply ourselves to the way that maybe we could look at the Bible as a guide for us all to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That would help.
And
but,
do the family members, I'm sorry, Craig, do the family members have to be people who are related by blood in your definition?
No, they don't. Okay. Because we come from all different situations. Stepchildren are your children. Mm-hmm. Whatever you come into contact with, whoever is sharing the roof with you needs to share everything with you. I mean, there's no sense in hiding. That's like a destruction of the family right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's new changes every day, you know, whether you adopt or however it goes, you come into contact with children that you didn't necessarily, you know, bore mm-hmm. naturally. Mm-hmm. You do have to accept them into the fold. I hate the term stepsons, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. If I'm in that position, they are my sons. You know,
right.
I'm
right.
taking care of them, and I want them to accept the same page, back to the page,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that I'm offering. That's how we need to do it.
All right. Awesome. Craig, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for your comments this
thank
morning.
Thank you, Craig.
All right. God well bless. Said. Best all of right. all, best of holidays.
All right. Same to you. God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to Gloria calling in on line two. Gloria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great. So we'd like to know, what is your definition of family?
My definition of a family basically is unity. As long as you are united,
mm-hmm.
you know, in one strength and in one mind. And first thing first, you always put God first
mm-hmm.
in everything you do in your family. So basically, my definition of a family is unity.
Unity. Okay. So if you have blood relatives and there is no unity, would you say that person had a family?
Yes.
Okay. Give me more about that. Because you said if the definition of family means unity, but you have blood relatives and there is no unity, then how do they fall under your definition of family?
Actually, because in my family, we are united in some way, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are blood related and you kind of like swift away from the family,
mm-hmm.
it takes, even though it takes a whole lot to try to talk to people and try to convince, you know, even your sisters and your brothers and all the other people in your family, you know, sometimes God works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
Through him, you know, by talking to this person, they will sit there and think about it. Okay, I'm drifting away from my family for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been apart for so long. I have not been united with my family. And they will sit there and think about it and think about life and think about how things is working these days in the world. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And as long as you pray, there's nothing that is not possible for God.
Okay. And Gloria, I thank you so much for being a part of today's show, and thank you for expressing your opinion this morning.
Thank you.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Gladys calling in from West Philadelphia. Gladys, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. And what is your definition of family, Gladys?
My definition of family is sticking together, staying in touch with one another, and also having a visit in the presence at least every now and then.
Okay, seeing each other face to face.
Yes.
And all that. Okay, sounds good. Gladys, thank you so much for your phone call, and thank you for expressing your opinion this morning.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, you take care.
Thank you, God bless.
All right. If you're just tuning in, it's Praise in the City here on Praise 103.9 FM. We are speaking with members, cast members of the play Stick Fly at the Arden Theater. We have Janice and Jerome joining us in studio. I want to give you guys an opportunity to answer the question. What is your definition of family? Also, my listeners, you can call in still 215-263-1039. We're still welcoming your phone calls, by the way. So, Janice.
Well, for me, I think the word family is a verb, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's a constant challenge to continue to grow and be better than you are.
Mm.
That's what it means to me, for me and my family. I'm very close to all of my family, but my mom, my brother, and I have a very tight unit. And
nice.
I'm telling, whenever I feel like I have a challenge or my mother looks at me and she's like, that's I didn't raise you to behave that way, mm. or you're making this choice, but I know you can make a stronger choice, or I mm-hmm. see you struggling through something, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you deal with it, mm-hmm. but I challenge you to dig deeper. Mm-hmm. I challenge you to just endure it, to go through it, because, you know, you hold a vision for each other. You mm-hmm. hold a vision for your family, and you hold a vision for the individual members, mm-hmm. And as a family, like, that's what we're responsible for, mm-hmm. but we're also responsible for helping each other get to that vision. So, you know, I know we all have family members that mm-hmm. struggle with different things, whether it be, you know, being in prison or mm-hmm. illness or whatever. It's our responsibility to just, you know, someone who is working on being a great father, but he might mm-hmm. not have had a strong example of mm-hmm. a fatherhood. But just holding their hand and being with them through that process. And I so value my family.
Yeah.
And I would not be where I am. I would not be sitting here today without the shoulders that I stand on. So I think it's constant work and growth.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Jerome, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think with, you know, just kind of including what Janice just said and what your caller said, I think responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it came out mm-hmm. through Janice just now. Responsibility and love.
Yeah.
Love goes a long way. But responsibility, being responsible for the father has to be responsible for his children,
mm-hmm.
has to be responsible for the family structure, mm-hmm. has to be responsible in Christian. You know, in the Christian kingdom, we are called to be the priest of our homes. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for bringing people together in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But some homes obviously don't have that. So you're right. responsible for everything that incorporates that love mm-hmm. and that connection. So it's responsibility. And yeah. love, just, you know, obviously the words, it covers a multitude of sins. But love, just love. There may be homes that may not have a Christian presence mm-hmm. per se.
Mm-hmm.
But these people have that love, mm-hmm. and that's the wonderful thing about God's mercy and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
They have that love that they're connected to.
Yes,
they have that love that takes care of each other, that looks mm-hmm. out for each other. They have that love that shows that guidance, mm-hmm. that you know, helping their children through situations, sitting yeah. down with them and helping them to make the right decisions, you know. So responsibility and love comes up the most
yeah.
for me. I think one of the things that Cheryl seems like what I feel is that somebody needed to be responsible, or even you, Dr. LaVey, needed to be responsible to let this be known
mm-hmm.
before now, you know.
Right, right.
So, responsibility is called across the line. Responsible mm-hmm. for the upkeep of your family, for mm-hmm. feeding them, for mm-hmm. loving them. To some respects, for praying with them. Or, like I say, even if there's not a Christian presence
right.
in the family,
just
love and
that.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not one to say, oh, you mm-hmm. don't do this, you don't read the Bible and all that. Hey,
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
people are just not there.
Right.
You know, they haven't had it, or they're just not there. So God still loves them.
Right. Right.
You know, so that, but
it's beautiful.
But, that pretty much.
Okay. All right. And I do have another question for you, but I see we have Lori on the line. We're still taking calls from our listening audience. You can reach out to us at 215-263-1039. My question to you is, what is your definition of family? What are the things that, excuse me, need to be included when you call someone your family? So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to Lori calling in from Philadelphia. Lori, good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, Lori. All right. Lori is listening to the radio and not listening to the phone. So we're going to put you on hold for a second. Lori, make sure you are listening to the phone, not to the radio, and make sure that radio is all the way off so we don't get feedback. But to you guys, Janice and Jerome, what advice would you give to people who say don't have that love, don't have that responsibility from their blood family members? They would consider their friends their family because they give them those things. What advice would you give them to forgive their actual family members for not acting like a family, for not having the love and not having the responsibility? Either one of you. I know that's that thought. It's like, let me think about it.
Well, you know.
Well, if you need a few extra minutes to think, I'll see if we can get Lori on the line.
I'm going to say a little something.
Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. A young man once said, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to start with yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to start with yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your forgiving heart before you try to fix other people.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that element can spread out, you know. So, you know, you have to look into yourself first, you know.
Yeah, good I just stuff. Wanted to say, I think that if you're looking at your family and you're saying, okay, these are the things that I don't like, these are the things that I do like, when you, if you are in, have an opportunity to, you know, create your own family. We were talking about marriage and having children earlier. What are those key elements? What are those foundational points that you want to structure your family on?
Right.
I think starting from there, it's, you know, as that's a part of looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you're a part of that family, too. So maybe there are some things that you might have done or said that you need forgiveness for. So just like Jerome said, forgiving yourself, asking for forgiveness, creating that platform to even have that conversation, but also being clear about what it is that you want to establish and structure for your own family. So then you can even know, okay, I know that these are the things that are important to me. So then you can look back at your own family and kind of see where things didn't go the way that they could have, and you can start to identify. I know one thing for me that I so value in my mom, she recognized that she didn't want to have the same relationship with me that she had with her mother. So she was able to clearly identify what needed to change.
Right.
And that's when the work began, you know? And so I know my relationship with my daughter, when I have one, is going to be amazing, you know, because my mother invested in change. She invested in growth.
Absolutely. And how would you, before I take a few phone calls, I see we have people on the line to answer our question about definition of family. How have your roles challenged you on the topic of forgiveness when it comes to your own family? How have the people you play in Stickfly challenged you on the topic of forgiveness when it comes to your own personal family?
Well, I'll just say this right quick. For me, I learned to see my father as a human being and not this idea that I created in my head. He's a man first, and who he is who he is, and I need to love and accept him as that.
That's interesting. I had a whole different thought in my mind before Janice said that. You know, over the weekend, I looked at the life of Nelson Mandela. I looked at the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. I saw a clip where Coretta Scott King was talking to Mike Wallace, the first Christmas without Dr. King, and Yolanda and all of them, Bernice and King and Dexter and all of them were around. And I looked at the life of John F. Kennedy and these men that we revere so greatly and so responsible and has such an impact on our society, yet men with flaws, you know, yet men who made mistakes, bad choices. Gosh, if we if everything that people say about them is true, well, then gosh, they're not really that much different from any other man. They just, God used them to do great things, you know. But I think to get back to kind of your original question is that the family issues in the family is so layered now. And there's so many ways that the media can get to our children and kind of poison their minds and their choices. And so it's so layered. But I always say, you know, you have to go back to yourself. Try to work with yourself first. And then you can be the best component and best link to helping your family. And it just goes back also to love and responsibility. I think that I didn't come from a big family, just a mother who had a little kid attached to her side and and took him here and there and everywhere. You know, didn't have a father, never knew a father. You know, yet you know, I understand being married for over 20 years and now single with a daughter who loves her father. But at the same time, you know, just connecting with that, you know, Mm-hmm. I see you guys trying to go to something else, so let's
no, take no, 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 oh, no. I, okay. We're just having our... Yeah, we are, but I was just communicating with Larry, our producer.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And, but I think I'm just trying to make that link of how it impacted my own life and how I, you know, I have to forgive myself at times, you know, I have to forgive myself that my daughter, I don't wake up every morning now and see her face or put her to bed anymore. She's 17 now, so she's a big girl, but still, you know, that, you know, you have to forgive yourself.
Right.
And, you know, God is a God of a second chance and a third chance.
And a 45th chance.
And a 45th chance. and a righteous man would fall seven times, 70 times, so, exactly. And get back up.
Exactly.
We fall down, but we get up, right?
Absolutely. And
but,
you know,
so, but at the same time, you know, I come into the possibility, you know, very soon, connecting myself to a family, you know, and, you know, I'm engaged now and just thinking of what that means to that responsibility.
Right.
And, but, that how it touches my life.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive yourself and be responsible and add a component of love. Put God first.
Amen.
And the work doesn't stop there, but boy, you're in good company.
Hey, amen. I know that's right. And the work doesn't stop here either. We have some folks on the phone. Let's get to them. Let's get to Jessica calling in from Northeast Philadelphia. Jessica, good morning. Thank you for your patience. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, for me, family is forever, because we don't get to pick our family. We don't get to pick the necessarily all the choices we make and who they are, but they do impact our experiences and just how we're going to deal with life in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so family means forever, basically, to you.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. Jessica, thank you for being a part of the program, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. We're getting close to the end of the program, guys. I want you both to just give us in a sentence or two, just a sentence or two, why people need to come and check you guys out in Stick Fly at the Arden Theater. Hard
you'll
to condense
laugh,
it into a
cry.
Sentence.
I think overall, it's an entertaining experience. It entertains and also challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what theater should do, right? It should affect change, and I think it does that.
Fabulous.
Excellent. I must. My hat goes off to the writer, Lydia Diamond. Mm-hmm. She found a way to tell us a story that can touch every heart. But boy, do you have a good time ticking in that story.
Yeah.
You are laughing.
Yeah.
You could almost laugh from beginning to end.
Love it.
But and we have a wonderful group of actors.
Yes.
They're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is being told. So come out for an entertaining evening and something that you can take back in conversation, take back in your spirit.
Yeah.
And something that will, you know. I know you said one sentence, but you get me
that's
to
right.
going.
That's
I'm
right.
sorry.
I'm talking to actors. I know. I know. I totally understand. But that's awesome. I'm so glad you guys were able to come in and speak with us and tell us about the show. Also, to have a brief discussion, but a very impactful one about family, because in essence, that's what the show is all about. It's about a family. So thank you guys so much for coming in. We wish you all the best with the remaining performances. Again, Stick Fly at the Arden Theater until December 22nd. We will put more information on our website, praisephilly.com. So make sure you go there to find out more information. And later on this evening, it is our praise concert, our holiday praise concert. So we want to make sure you go on out there and check it out. I know we're expecting a weather event, but it should be okay. But just keep listening. To the station. We'll give you weather updates. It will be at the Leocor Center this evening, 6 p.m., so make sure you check it out. With that said, much love to my off-site producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Don't touch that dial, because Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station. We'll be right back.